All right, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 11. John chapter 11 is the story of what? Do we know? This is just a little test. Lazarus. Lazarus' death and resurrection. There you go. Very good. Lazarus' death and resurrection. And we're going to look at just the first portion of this account tonight. We're going to look at some of the details surrounding this account, kind of set the stage for what takes place. Now, this is a miracle, obviously. This is a miracle done by Jesus. And as I prayed earlier, it is a joy to study the life of Jesus. And I trust that you are experiencing that. And here we're going to see how God works, how Jesus is, how he works. And it doesn't always match up with the way we might want things or think it should be. But remember, God always does what is right. And his timing is impeccable. It is perfect. Now, what is taking place here in John chapter 11 is, I believe, taking place several weeks after the accounts in Luke chapter 10, where Jesus comes and visits the home of Mary and Martha. You remember that story? Jesus comes in Luke chapter 10. Jesus comes to their home. He visits with them, and Mary and Martha have a very different response. Remember? Martha, she was all busy. She was busy going about the house, preparing the meal, and making sure things were just all right, just for Jesus. Mary, what did she do? She sat at his feet. And the Lord, very graciously, he blessed Mary and said she was doing the better thing. And this, I believe, taking place just a few weeks prior to what we're seeing in this account. So we've been introduced to Mary and Martha before in the Gospels. Now, what is interesting is that this is the first time in John's Gospel, where we meet Mary and Martha and Lazarus. This is the first time you meet them. Now, as you know, there are several Marys in the New Testament. This Mary that we're going to be studying about, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, this is the Mary, this is the woman who anointed the Lord's feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. This is the same one that did that. This is the Mary that, as I've already mentioned, was the one that so eagerly listened to the Lord Jesus. There are several other Marys. There's Mary, the wife of Cleophas. We don't know much about her except she stood at the cross and was favorable to the Lord Jesus. She was weeping for him at the foot of the cross in John 19. We also know Mary Magdalene, and some have tried to associate Mary Magdalene with this Mary, but I believe they are different people. Mary Magdalene is the one who stood at the cross as well, but she was also the first one to the tomb, Resurrection Day. What's interesting also about John's Gospel is he never mentions the name of Jesus' mother, who Mary, when we talk about Mary, that's the first one that usually comes to our mind. John always refers to her as the mother of Jesus in his Gospel, the mother of Jesus. And she appears several times, the wedding at Cana, in John chapter 2. She is spoken of in John chapter 6, and in John chapter 19, you also see her at the foot of the cross. But she is always referred to in John's Gospel as the mother of Jesus. So in John's Gospel, we have Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, we have Mary, the wife of Cleophas, we have Mary Magdalene, and then we have the mother of Jesus. Martha, we don't know much other than that she's the sister of Mary and Lazarus. She was very industrious, very caring. That's basically what we know about her. She appears in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 10, and also in John chapter 11 that we're going to be looking at here. The Lazarus in this story, Lazarus is, I believe, a different Lazarus than what's in the parable of Lazarus, the beggar and the rich man. And Lazarus dies and goes to Abraham's bosom. That's recorded in the book of Gospel of Luke. This is, I believe, a different character. And Lazarus is a friend of Jesus. And it's interesting, as you read this account, Jesus very clearly loves Lazarus, and he is called a friend of Jesus. So in other words, they had a relationship. Now, what the setting for this story is taking place in Bethany. Go to your maps in the back of your Bible. Go to the map that shows Palestine in the time of Jesus, Israel in the time of Jesus. You may have one that shows Jesus' journeys as well. Locate Jerusalem. Jerusalem is just west of the northern shore of the Dead Sea. You find Jerusalem. Just northeast of Jerusalem, you will find the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is a significant place in the Scriptures. It's the place of the Ascension. It's also the place of Jesus' return. Now, the Mount of Olives, on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, the southeastern slope of the Mount of Olives, you will find this small village of Bethany. This is just a small village. It is on the way to Jericho, on the road to Jericho. It is about 1.7 miles from Jerusalem. All right, so it's not that far from Jerusalem. Keep looking at your map. If you look from Bethany, if you look just east, northeast, you will find Jericho. And then you will go straight east, you find the Jordan River. Now, the distance from Bethany to the Jordan River is about 20 miles, give or take a few miles. We find Jesus on the eastern shore of the Jordan River across from Jericho at the beginning of John chapter 11. Okay? So that's where Jesus is. Mary and Martha and Lazarus are in Bethany. Jesus is some 20, 25 miles east across the Jordan River. We know that from John chapter 10, the end of that chapter, where Jesus retreated away from Jerusalem because the Jews were about ready to what? Stone him. And so he retreated from Jerusalem to this place where John first baptized. And so that's where Jesus is. Mary and Martha are in Bethany, along with Lazarus, who is sick. So that's the setting. That's the picture that you have. Now remember also that anybody that would be carrying messages, anybody that would be traveling, most of the time it is done by foot. All right, so it would be several days' journey, about 2 days' journey to travel between Bethany and where Jesus was. And so you have all of that to factor in here, because this is all plays an important part in the story. All right, so John chapter 11. Go back, we're done looking at the map. And again, I encourage you to have a Bible that's got good maps. That's very helpful in putting eyes to the story, putting a picture to it. All right, John chapter 11, we're going to read verses 1 through 16. As we read, I want you to pay attention to Jesus and the way he is working. Pay attention to his intentions. What are his intentions in this account? What is his plan? What is his goal? What is his purpose? And what is taking place here? So John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And then after that, saith to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone you, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. These things he said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. All right, I trust you were able to follow along and notice Jesus' intent and his purpose, his goal, his reasoning. You see, so often when we encounter sickness, suffering, illness, challenge, difficulties in our lives, we have a very distinct purpose and goal, don't we? Get me rid of that. Get me out of this. Free me from this difficulty. That's a very natural human response, and in fact, I believe Jesus recognizes and is understanding and sympathetic of that response in this passage. But what we see in this passage is his sovereignty on display in the bounds of the sympathies of human behavior. Because Mary and Martha, they are afraid. In fact, they mourn the loss of their brother. Now, let's just break the story down a bit, and I'll make comments as we go. Lazarus is sick. Nothing I can add to that, except it was a sickness unto death. Mary and Martha believed that it was a sickness that was demanded the urgent presence of the Savior. I want to stop there. What does that tell you about their understanding of Jesus? What does that tell you about their relationship? He is referred to, they are friends. They have spent time together, as we know. They firmly understand and believe that the presence of Jesus would have an impact, possibly even a healing of their brother. You know, their intent in sending for Jesus was not that he would come and raise him from the dead. Their intent was that he would come and heal their brother. Now we know that Jesus was a healer. Everybody knew that. All around Jerusalem and all throughout Palestine, Jesus was a healer, a worker of great miracles. And so why not, especially if you're friends with him, why not call him and have him come and minister to your loved one? Very understanding, and I believe Jesus understood that as well. Interesting that what you see here in John's gospel is he wants you to very clearly know and understand the characters. Lazarus is sick. He explains who Lazarus is in relation to Mary and Martha. He explains who Mary is in relation to what she is known for, in that she is expressing her praise and honor and exaltation of the Lord by anointing the Lord Jesus and wiping his feet with her hair. John records that event later in this gospel. Now in verse 3, you see the sisters send a message to Jesus. Now that message is not by telephone. That message is by a messenger. And a messenger would have taken this and brought it to Jesus. Now let's remember, this is some distance. A messenger that might have run quickly, maybe he could have accomplished this in a day, but more likely a two-day journey. And so Lazarus is very sick. Messenger, go tell Jesus that Lazarus, the one whom you love, is sick. 2 days later, he arrives at Jesus' feet. And he reports this message. The message is this: Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Notice the message, okay? Notice the message. The message is not, Lord, come and heal our brother. The message is, Lord, the one whom you love is sick. What you see here is there's an appeal to the very emotion, passion, feeling of Jesus. The relationship is coming into play here. And you're getting to see that in the very way that they're communicating in this message. The one whom you love is sick. This love, in case you're interested, the one whom you love, this is a phileo love. That's a care. There's a fondness. The one whom you care for is very ill. Now, Jesus, when he hears this message, verse 4, he has this response. And I believe this is important because I believe this was carried back to Mary and Martha. Because the messenger would have brought the message to him and then would have returned immediately. And would have, I believe, carried this message. And the message was this: this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, that message, 2 days later, now we're at 4 days, returning back to Mary and Martha, the messenger returns and gives that message to them. It's been 4 days since they've sent. And Jesus, through the messenger, tells them, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, do we know if Lazarus was dead at this point or not? I don't believe so. I believe he was probably alive. He was probably very close to death at this point. Because from the timeline that you're seeing in here, we know that Jesus abides where he was for another 2 days. And so by the time that the messenger would have returned back and reached Mary and Martha, Jesus would have been preparing to leave. And then he would have returned another 2 days, and we know that Lazarus had been in the grave for four, had been dead for 4 days. And so Lazarus would have been very close, or probably maybe even had died recently at that point, if you work out all the timeline there. But nevertheless, what does this message mean for these sisters who are so desperate for help for their brother? This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Well, if you look at that message and you break that message down, you will see that you see the emphasis and the purpose behind what Jesus is doing, his ministry here. You see, he is putting forth the message of hope. This sickness is not unto death. He's also putting forth the message of But God is going to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in his ways for his glory. The sickness is not unto death. There's hope here. But whatever's done is going to be done so that God receives the glory. And we're going to see that Jesus is going to do things in such a way that it magnifies the glory of God. We're not going to see a healing here. We're going to see a resurrection from the dead. An incredible miracle where someone who has been in the grave for 4 days is now walking out of the tomb alive. Our time has run so quickly tonight. I feel like I'm just getting started. Let me try to wrap this up. We're kind of right in the middle of it. I don't know how else to wrap it up, except for come back next week for part two. But you know, I do want you to notice, though. Notice how Jesus is operating here. Notice that God, Jesus Christ, is God. Notice he remains in control. He's doing things as he wants to do them, in his timing, and it's for God's glory. Beloved, listen, we're going to have challenges and difficulties in our life that we're going to want God to change. And change them now. Do them now quickly, Lord. Heal my loved one. Take away my pain. You know, when I encounter folks like that, and you know, I don't have any flowery answer. But you know, I do know that God always does what is right. I shared this morning. God always will do what is right, and it will accomplish his purpose for his glory. And if that means we go through suffering and difficulty and pain, well, God be glorified. And maybe that sounds like an overly spiritual statement, but you know what? God's in control. He's sovereign. And his ways are way beyond our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts, right? Lord, I thank you for this time together, and I thank you for this account that we're just beginning, God. And Lord, we're excited to go on this journey of watching you as you raise Lazarus from the dead and watching how you do it. I pray that you would bring continuity to this account for us. And I pray that it would carry great power and have an impact in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.